We would haul him in the little thing. And then we had two kids. And they're like, wow, okay, this is a little bit more of a thing, so we had to get more time. When we had three kids, you know, it was just an adventure to get out anywhere or do anything. You got to give yourself an hour before you do. And then when an oldest one becomes mobile, you're chasing the other one, you know, anyway. But waiting on something or waiting on someone is kind of not an easy thing to do. And we wonder, well, is God ever going to come through? And the people of Israel especially that were waiting on the Messiah, people were expecting to have their Messiah come. They were looking for somebody, most people were looking for somebody who could come and just ease their pain. By that I mean all the Romans were in charge of everything. They were oppressed. They were impoverished. They were under a political regime. They weren't free. And they wanted somebody to come in and kick butt and take names. And they wanted them to take these Romans out and us to have this kingdom on earth that would never end, and Israel would always be in charge and we would be awesome and things. And God had an original plan, a different plan than what they thought. And we often think, wow, God is here and God is all about making us have greater comfort and have greater ease in our life and to take away our troubles. And you'll not find that in the Bible. In fact, you'll find where Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. My favorite one is, if you're married, you will have trouble. And yet we continue to do it over and over. It's in the Bible. Look it up, man. If you're married, you will have trouble. We're always going to have difficulty and troubles. So if God came, or he sent his own son, just to take care of our circumstances and to make life easier, we would live, and then we would die, then we'd have comfort and ease in between. And for this short, however long you want to say you live, 100, 120 years, some the life expectancy now, 70 to 75, some more, some less, and you will have had comfort during that period of time, and yet you would have missed all of eternity because you've got comfort and ease here. This is a test. Right now, life is a test for what's going to happen in eternity. And there were these guys that were shepherds, and they were looking for the Messiah. There's a clue in the scripture here about what they were doing. Luke, the second chapter, says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. So they were guarding them, and then they were doing it at night. That's kind of a weird thing to do. Now, if you were a shepherd, and this was like the lowliest of jobs that you could have. I used to say the garbage man would be similar to it, but I think garbage men make decent money, and so you can't say that. And then you might have a garbage man, a sanitation worker, and we often will think lowly of someone who has to do that, or somebody who works with sewage or whatever. And then I started to work a little bit, you know, with my hands with some of these guys, and realized these guys are smart and very, very skilled, and I don't know what I'm doing. So I think a little bit more highly of them than my arrogant mind used to think. But the shepherds were thought of by everybody to be lowly. It was the worst thing you could have to do. And if you got put on shepherd duty, oh, my dear soul, that was the worst thing. That was like punishment for you. But these guys were watching their sheep, and the clue is that they were doing so at night. You would at least do it during the day. And you would hope that you would have what was called a sheepfold, or a place where you could keep them, a pen, or even better, if you could keep them like in the sheepfold under a cave where your house was built, and you could go in. And that meant you could sleep at night, and you could keep your sheep set aside and protected from all these nocturnal predators and what have you that are around. So, but these shepherds are out in the fields, and it's at night. So they're wanting to keep these sheep separated from all other sheep. And that gives us an indication of why they were doing that and what they were up to. There was a second thing. You would have all your fields and sheep if you just let them go and graze without keeping them contained or keeping them in their area, they could go and they could get into somebody's fields and they would eat those things up. So you would not want the sheep to be just wandering around. So here they are just kind of wandering around in Bethlehem, and they're doing it at night. And this word Bethlehem, it is a town, and it means house of bread. It is where most of the grain for all of the area was produced. So you wouldn't want just shepherds and their sheep running around Bethlehem eating whatever they wanted to, because the entire area would be put into famine. But it gives us an idea that at this time, the harvest had been done. And so these sheep were being allowed to eat from the stubble that was left from the fields after harvest. And this might hurt your feelings, but Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Yeah, it was sometime after the harvest, probably sometime in the fall. I think probably September 29, because that's when really great people were born. Just saying, you know. Yeah, other people, you know, it's always Jesus' birthday and your birthday, but somewhere around in that area. And so here they are, allowed to eat from the stubble of the field. Now, who would allow something like somebody like that to do? They're not far from Jerusalem. So it is believed that these shepherds were keeping sheep that were assigned specifically for the temple. What would happen every year? They would take a sheep, and you would take the best of your sheep, the best of your flock. It would be unblemished. They wouldn't have spots or you know, they wouldn't be like the, now I like the little spotty horses and the Appaloosas and the little belted cows and all. I think they're cool, but that wouldn't be the kind of sheep you had. You'd have one that was just completely white. He was perfect. It would have to be the firstborn. So you would take this little sheep and you put it on the back of your neck and you would walk it all the way to the temple. And when you got to the temple, you would lay it before the altar, and you yourself, in ancient times anyway, would cut the throat of the sheep that you had just carried all the way through. Really awful and gory, isn't it? And that would be to demonstrate how serious our sin is. How serious and how differently we think than God. We think, oh, God's here to make us comfortable. And God is thinking, oh, man, if they're comfortable or if it's easy for them, they'll think that this world is the only thing and they won't seek me. Or if I allow them to alleviate all the comfort in the world, they won't understand the consequences of their sin. And we bring about our own consequences in our lives by what we do and how we behave and how we've lived and how we've lived against God. So he brings these sheep and they sacrifice them, and the blood pours out all over just in gory, horrific fashion. And everybody watches this. From the little kids on up, they watch this happen and they watch this done, and they see all the blood poured out and they recognize, that's for me, that's for my sin. That's for my wrongdoing. And if you didn't have your own sheep, you could purchase one. But it had to be a perfect one. And it had to be set aside for the purpose. So all of these sheep set aside for the purpose of people being able to purchase them in order to have their symbolic sins forgiven for the year. So here these priests are watching their flocks, set aside for what Jesus is coming to do, to be the Lamb, to be the final and full and total sacrificial offering for your sin and for mine. So let's look at what they're doing here. So they're staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel, one of them, of the Lord, appeared among them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. and you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, meant they weren't wealthy, lying in a manger, which was a feeding trough. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, not singing, but saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened, what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. We think of joy as something that happens when good things happen to us, when circumstances are good. I read yesterday, there was a lady that won the lottery twice in one day. Now that would be joy to most of us. But if you'll look at what happens to lottery winners, all the relatives come out of the woodworks and people start bugging them. And a lot of them are just like, "I wish I'd never won." Now, a lot of us are sitting here thinking, "Well, I wish I could deal with that kind of temptation and burden in my life." But many people have difficulty. And a lot of them have gone bankrupt over a period of time because they just squandered it, or people just kept coming after them for different things. We think if we could just get it all okay, if we just had a little bit more, it would be fine. But then we get a little bit more, and what we realize is then we have to manage things. I look around sometimes for like property for the church, because one day we don't want to be in here, maybe. So I look around, and I was looking this morning as I went through and said, "Man, that's pretty good property." But it's like, it was like just acres and acres of storage units. So it's like, this is something. People got all the stuff. They paid for the stuff. And then they had to store their stuff because they didn't have enough room for their stuff. So now they're paying. And if you've ever rented a storage unit, maybe you have one, they're not particularly cheap. So you're storing all your stuff. And then you've got all your other stuff. And after a while, you're just like, do I possess the stuff or does the stuff possess me? You know? Who owns who here? And but I was just looking at that. Man, it's just rows and rows and rows of nothing. Literally, these people run a business that produces nothing and actually has, by its very nature, the benefit of the company is that their place is empty. So you can put your junk in their empty spot. That's a pretty cool business. We should go into that business, Brian. Yeah. Get our empty stuff, empty place. Basically, they sell nothing. So you can put something in their nothing. And we would think that we would be happy with just a little more, but then we're not. And we want more and more and more and more of it. And let's not even talk about my eBay habit. You know what I'm saying? We do this kind of thing. We think that's joy. But our circumstances, our possession, the way things are happening, the way things are going, that is not what joy is about. And if you look at this passage, what is the source of their joy? What is the source of what they found to be true and genuine, authentic joy? And the secret sauce is that it did not come from within themselves, but it came from beyond themselves, outside of themselves. Specifically, it came from God Himself. Their joy came because they discovered the secret sauce of life, and that is, you are not designed to live your life without God. God created you, and He made you and designed you not just to need Him like it's some kind of mean thing to do, But when he created Adam and Eve originally, it was the normal life to live and walk with God, to walk with your Creator, to live with your Creator, to experience and know your Creator in them, to live with your God. And because we chose to do our own thing and go our own way, we separated ourselves from God. We made ourselves dead to God. It's a really bad analogy, but we kind of zombified ourselves. We made ourselves dead to who God is. And that is not who God made us to be. And that is not really the natural way for us to be. We think of it as natural because we're so accustomed to just doing things our own way. And then God is way out there and they're supernatural. And the supernatural is bizarre and different and weird to us. But that's just because we're conditioned to this world and we're conditioned to its sinful kind of approach. God really intended for himself to live in us and through us. And so, when I say God designed you specifically for him, God designed you to live with him, I mean it to be the normal way to live. And the Bible says that's the normal way to live. And the source of joy and the source of peace and the source of hope and the source of love and the source of life and the source of everything comes from God himself, because he designed us and we're not designed to function in any other way outside of him. So when these angels, first one angel and then another angel comes by and they tell these shepherds, basically, they're going to be out of a job. The Messiah has been sent. The one that will be the sacrifice for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, has come to earth. The waiting is over. It is done. He is here. The Messiah has come. And it's almost hard to believe for them because they just have been waiting so long. They wondered if God was ever going to show up. You ever feel like that? You're going through a time of too much month at the end of the money, or your kids are driving you crazy and it's a very, very short trip. You know, you're just having a lot of things going on. Anybody experiencing life like that right now? And Christmas seems to be a time of just hectic, chaotic, nutty stuff. First of all, we go to daylight savings thing or whatever ends, and so it's dark earlier, and then the lights are off earlier in the world, and like all of a sudden, just crazy stuff starts happening, and the people are kind of trying to, and then we start doing a Good Friday or Black Friday, not Good Friday, Black Friday stuff. And then all of a sudden now it's not Black Friday. Black Friday starts on Black Thursday, and then we're just all stressed out. We were sitting up late the other night because I was just getting going, but because I'm a night owl. But we were talking about how we're going to do Christmas, how we're going to do that, how we're going to do everything. We're trying to figure out the money to do this or that and the other. And the truth is, the kids don't particularly care that much, you know. They're not concerned about it. But we are. And we're all stressed out. And, you know, I found that 80-90% of the stuff I'm stressed out about, nobody else is bothered. I wonder what they think. I wonder what they do. I wonder what they... And we worry about what everybody else is thinking about us. And have you noticed this? I worry about what everybody else is thinking about me. I'm worried about what everybody else has got me on their mind. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how many times Willie Nelson or whoever sings it, we are not always on their mind. You know who's on their mind? They're on their mind. What do they think of me? What do I think of them? And blah, blah, blah. And we spend our entire lives worried about people, and most of the time, that, first of all, don't care about us, but second of all, aren't worried about us and aren't really thinking about us at all. We get ourselves all stressed out about a number of things, and I think when it's all said and done, we're going to look back and we're going to say, that really didn't matter so much. That really wasn't important. What was the thing that you were most stressed about 1 year ago today, on this day, December 10, 2016? What was it? Do you remember? No, you don't. You don't have a clue. Unless it was like a death or something like that that happened on that specific day that was very, very memorable, 90% or more of us don't even remember what it was. But at the time, it was the biggest thing. It was our biggest joy kill, wasn't it? It was the fun sponge of our life. It was just sucking the life out of us. And we let ourselves do that. Why do we do that? Because we're focused on our stuff, our circumstances, our little thing, and we don't have the eternal perspective. We're not plugged into the source. We are designed to be plugged in to the source. But most of the time, we plug into ourselves, and it doesn't work. It looks something like this. Watch this. Why won't my power strip turn on? This is an actual tweet. I have everything plugged in. It's going to take you a minute. It's going to take you a minute. Some of you could have posted this. It's taken you a minute. It's not plugged into the power source. But this is how we live our lives spiritually, emotionally, mentally, most of the time. We are plugged into ourselves. We're not plugged into the source of hope. Joy. It's not that you just got it. It's just that you announced it to everybody, you know. Okay. Do we need to go back? Power strip is plugged into itself. This is why I don't share some illustrations. I do. I sit around and worry. I'm like, I'd like to share that story. I'd love to share that picture. I wonder if anybody will get it, you know. All right, he got it. Just took a minute. I have to give a little time. That's good. We're plugged into ourselves. We're plugged into our own power, our own strength. We're focused on our own little thing. We're not focused on God. Here, the shepherds sitting there, minding their own sheepy business, and God intervened. When's God going to show up? I don't know, but he does show up. And he shows up into their circumstances. And he doesn't come in here, "I bring you great news of great joy. Thou shalt not have to be shepherds anymore." He doesn't tell them that. Eventually, that's what's going to happen to them. "I bring you great news of great joy. Here's some coffee to make you feel better. Hey, I bring you great news of great joy. You're going to get a raise. You're going to make a double salary." And if they had announced that, they would have thought that was the greatest thing ever. But he had something better. He said, "Listen, I've come to give you eternity. I've come to live among you. I've come to live in you." They didn't understand all of what this would mean for them. They didn't understand what all this would mean for humanity. But they did understand that God was doing something for them that they could not do for themselves. And when we begin to understand that, we can then begin to live as God intended for us to live. Focused on Him, attached to Him, connected to Him, empowered by Him because He's the source, rather than focused on ourselves and focused on our stuff and our circumstances and plugged into what we think is our own power, but ultimately it's really dead and it doesn't function well and it doesn't run current, and we're disempowered. We don't have what we need. And then we just kind of go through life and we begin to develop help and self-help. And you can read all the self-help books and you can do all the psychotherapy that you want to. And those are not necessarily bad things, but you can go through all of those things, and if you're not plugged into the power source, the God of the universe, you're gonna accomplish a great deal of things, humanly speaking, but you're not going to find true, normal, God-given, what you were created for, purposeful and fulfilled life. We're just not designed that way. We're designed to know, need, love, experience, have God in us and flow through us. So that's really the question today. The Messiah has come. He came to earth. He intervened in history. In fact, AD and BC is based on about the time that Jesus was born. And here these priest shepherds are, and they're hanging out, and they're doing their job. And God says, here, I've come. The Messiah has come. He is going to save people from their sins. God can know you. He says, peace, goodwill toward men. I'm not mad at you. I love you. I'm not angry with you. I care for you. I am not upset with you. You've sinned. You've done wrong. I am coming to intervene and do for you what you cannot do. It's called grace. And he intervenes in history and he says, look, I have come. I want to know you. I want to experience life. I want you to experience who I am. I want to live in and through you. I want to walk with you again. I'm not leaving you in your own sinfulness. I'm not leaving you in your own mentality, of your own power and your own strength and your own wisdom. I'm offering you life itself. I'm sending my DNA to earth. I'm sending my son to show you who I am. You may not have understood who I am, but I'm showing you who I am, and his name is Jesus. And you can know who I am. And more than that, you can know me. You can know God. You can experience God. You can walk with me. You can have the purpose that you were intended to have for all of life. And you can have joy. Joy is not when it's all okay. Joy is when it's all going crazy and I have within me God himself, and I know it's going to be okay. God's got me. I've got God, and God's got this. Hold on. It's good stuff. I like it. Hold on. I've got God. God's got me. God's got this. Phones can go off during sermon. It doesn't matter. God's got me. I've got God. God's got this. And the worst thing that can happen to me is I could drop dead and be in the presence of God immediately. That's the worst thing that can happen. So no matter what happens, even the worst thing that could happen would be the best thing that could ever happen to any of us. And we don't worry about death. And we don't worry about life. And we don't worry about stuff. And when we do, we realize this, whenever our joy is sucked out of us, wherever our peace is pulled away from us, and wherever our hope is diminished, we can know this. We are not connected to the power source. We are not in line with who God is, because he wants to bring us and give us. Doesn't mean you're never going to be sad. Doesn't mean you're not going to have pain. Doesn't mean you're not going to have hurt. It means that in the midst of all that, God is with us. God is in us. God's got you. You've got God. God's got this. It doesn't matter what's going on. An undercurrent of joy can always be there, because you know that no matter what, God is with you. In life, in death, in good, in bad, in difficulty, in celebration, in whatever you're going through, when you are connected to who he is, and he is in you, and you're experiencing him, you live that normal life that God intended, the one that God lives in you and through you. Let's do this. Let's pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity now. If you haven't received a gift, you're not going to earn it, guys, gals. You're not going to merit God's favor. It's grace. Just like the angels came to the shepherds didn't go to them. They didn't do things to get to God. God came to them. Jesus came to us. Jesus forgives us. We don't get there. We don't earn it. And you receive it. You drop all your pride. You drop all your trying to do it yourself. You drop all your depending on yourself and your own power and your own strength. And you say, all right, God, I need you. And I believe you and I trust you. And I believe you've sent Jesus for me. So you pray a simple prayer. You talk to God. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a ceremony or anything. You and God personally together, you and Him talking. Something like this. Jesus, I do believe you're the Son of God. I do believe God sent you. Father sent you to the earth to live and die for my sins and to be risen again from the dead. I believe you're the Son of God. So I ask now that you would forgive me of my sins. Send your Spirit to live inside of me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And I want to walk with you and live with you now on this earth and forever and ever in heaven with you as you promised me. And I receive it by faith in you. And in faith in you alone. In Jesus' name. If you've prayed that prayer, Jesus has saved you, not only for now, but forever and ever. And we want to be a family to you and help you grow in this process and love you along. And just like the rest of us, we're not perfect. We're walking along here and trying to understand and grow to become more like Him. So I want to encourage you to do that. Believer, I'm going to pray for you right now. Dear Father, as we go through life this week, so many things are distracting us. So many finances are distracting us. And kids and marriage and all kinds of things are just going on crazy around us. And we just continue to seem to look to ourselves for what to do, how to do it. And all along, you're right there. Lord, we ask that you would intervene in our lives. Bring miracles into our lives. But more than anything, we offer ourselves right now and we trust you. We trust you. We believe in you. We put our faith in you. No matter what's going on, we're connected to you. Give us joy, hope, peace, love. Give us good. Give us everything that it means to be inhabited by you, to have your Spirit living in us, to have you flowing through us. And we do pray that as you do that, that we would overflow and be a blessing to other people. But this week, as we're tempted to lose our joy, as we're tempted to abandon hope, as we're tempted to have our peace diminished by the enemy and everything that he throws at us on this world, in this world that's corrupt and messed up and not as you intended, may we be people that are as you intended, connected to you, living the normal life connected to you, the normal life with your Spirit in us, the normal life where we love you, Jesus, and we trust in you, and not by our own power, but by your power do we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you're on that end, if you'll pass down the popcorn buckets, and we're going to take up our offering. You can put your Connect card in there as well. You can share with us if you received Jesus as your Savior today. You can do that. If you need to be baptized, let us know that as well. We promise we won't do it outside during a time like this. And we encourage you to do that right now. Do want to point out the angel tree gifts that you see here right now. They need to be distributed. So that is in your newsletter as well. For that to happen, you need six teams of two, right? You're going two by two. It's like Noah's Ark. 12 or more people this Saturday, correct? Yes. this Saturday at the Kimballs. And if you don't know where the Kimballs are, see the Kimballs, wave Kimballs. Hey, Kimballs. And you're going to pray together, and you're going to deliver these at 10:30. And I will tell you, we get to do that from time to time, or I've gotten to do that from time to time, be kind of the gift giver for people, kind of an anonymous gift. And it is an absolute extraordinary blessing. And you will be more blessed than they will by doing that. So if you'll see them, let's have plenty of teams to help them. They'll have it all organized, I assume, to be sent out and distributed. They'll give you the exact address. You'll pray together. You'll make a big difference. I encourage you to do that. Gals, you have your ornament exchange to happen. It's kind of impromptu and unofficial, but I'm grilling burgers for the guys that are stuck with their kids and stuff like that. So you're welcome to come over to my house and eat a hamburger as well. The Houston Texans will be on. Are the Cowboys playing right now? Okay, good. We won't have to worry about them. So I have multiple TVs, so you can watch the Cowboys if they're on, if that's your team, or whoever. I have Sunday tickets, so you can watch whoever you want to. So, but I just wanted to, I just decided to do that yesterday, nothing fancy, but you are welcome to come over and do that if you are a bachelor and you're an ornament exchange bachelor and your wife is off ornament exchange. So you ladies go have a great day together. We're excited for you. Enjoy it. Hey, we're glad that you are here today. We've got a great Christmas season, so invite somebody, and let's experience him together this season, next week, and then Christmas Eve. Don't forget to wear your ugly Christmas sweater, okay? Hey, God bless you big time. Go give him heaven.